Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
Every day is Easter for us, right? Praise the name of the Lord. Father, we just give you praise and glory this morning. And we thank you that you're good. Not just when you're in a good mood, because you're always in a good mood. We just give you praise and glory. We thank you, Lord, that we can have the opportunity to worship you and to honor you and just love on you and enjoy you. Holy Spirit, I just thank you that you are the teacher. Thank you that you open the eyes of our understanding, that you give us the wisdom and revelation and the knowledge that you have. And thank you for bringing us out of darkness into your marvelous light. And everybody get that prayer said? Amen. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, just open to John 3:16. My only verse today. No, I'm just kidding. Y'all, if y'all believe that, you're in trouble. You know, as I was looking forward last week to today, thank you. I was asking the Lord, you know, what do you want to tell the people? And the thought came to me that God being so good is the greatest kept secret there is on this planet. Yeah, we read, you know, we read verses, and let's be honest, this is one of them. We kind of take it for granted. Because we've heard it 100 times. I mean, you can turn on NFL football and get this verse. Right? Right through the uprights. So we kind of take for granted some things, and I'll just be honest with you. I mean, I was raised in church my whole life. And what the Lord showed me, nobody's ever shown me before. And I'll just be honest with you, if it doesn't rock you, you need to check yourself for a pulse. In a good way. Okay? John 3:16, y'all could probably quote this verse. It says, I'm just going to read out of the NASB. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. He said, for God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world. Everybody say, not. He didn't send his Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Everybody say, through him. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, that men love the darkness rather than the light. For their deeds are evil, for everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, for fear that his deeds will be exposed. He who practices the truth comes to the light, so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. So I want to show you some things today, in line with this verse, that maybe you haven't thought about before. It says, God so loved the world. You know, we're kind of guilty of just assuming we get it. And a lot of times I think we're more comfortable knowing theology than actually knowing him. You know, we have our doctrines, and you know, it's interesting when Christians get around each other, here's the first thing that we do. We start trying to find out what the other person believes to see if we can hang around with them. How dumb can you get and still breathe? We have the same nature. The only difference between me and somebody else, I don't give a flying flip if you believe what I believe. The fact is, if you spend the time with Jesus that I've spent with Jesus, then you would see what I'm seeing. And if there's some things that you're seeing, if I'd spend the time with Him, He'll eventually show me those things. Because how many of us, the Holy Spirit's not schizophrenic. He doesn't have one perspective for one person, because after all, that's just how you are. So I'm going to tell you how it is by the way you are. He'll lead and guide you into all of the truth. So the only difference between me and somebody else, or you and somebody else, is the fact that you may have spent a little more time in the driver's seat, or I should say this, you may have spent a little more time in the cockpit, spending time with Him in the secret place, and He showed things to you that you didn't know before. I love what Paul told the Corinthian church. He says, I don't know why you boast about what you know, because everything you get it from Him. Right? So, I want to show you some things today, because I got to tell you, we have absolutely no clue the impact of John 3:16 when He says, God so loved. We've taken for granted some things about how deep that is and really how radical He is. Because Daddy's radical. He's radical. He loves you more than you love you. So let's go back, and I don't want to read the whole entire Easter story, but I want to show you some things that Jesus said leading up to it. And then I want to show you some things. Did you ever wonder, okay, pretend like you don't know anything about the gospel at all. Okay, nobody's told you why Jesus came. Because I'm going to show you some things that Daddy showed me. Why He had to do it this way. Y'all ever ask Him why? If you're sovereign, why didn't you just say everybody's saved and be done with it? Go over to... I'll go over to the book of Luke. Go to Luke. I was going to go to Matthew first, but we'll go to Luke first. I'm just going to say this. This thing's bigger than your religion. I'll say it this way. This thing's bigger than our religion. Okay. Luke chapter 22. Let's go to Luke chapter 22. Luke 22. Luke 22, Jesus is standing in front of the religious establishment. And they had just taken Him from the garden, and so now He's standing in front of them. And it says verse 66, it says, when it was day, the council of elders and the people assembled, both chief priests and scribes, and they led Him away to their council chamber, saying, if you are the Christ, tell us. But He said to them, if I tell you, you won't believe. And if I ask a question, you'll not answer. Look at verse 69. But from now on, the Son of... What does it say? What does it say? How come He didn't say the Son of God? He said, from now on the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of God. The Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of God. And so they got all uptight and said, so you are the Son of God then? And He said, yes, I am. And they said, what further need do we have for testimony? For we've heard ourselves from His own mouth. But I wanted to show you this. He made a statement. He says, from this point forward, you'll see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of God. And then he goes through the crucifixion. 3 days later, he's raised up from the dead. And there's a section of scripture here where it talks about a couple of disciples who originally were with the 11 when he appeared. How many know there was more than 11? Don't you love the way we do our Bible stories? We only have 11 show up, you know. But there was more than 11, guys. And these two were a part of those 11. In verse 13, chapter 24, it says, "Behold, two of them were going that very day to a village named Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all the things which had taken place. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself approached them and began to travel with them." So he just shows up. Can you imagine, you're talking about what happened the last few days, and all of a sudden there's a guy with you? And so they begin to have a conversation with him, but their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. And he said, "What are these words that you're exchanging with one another as you're walking?" Don't you know? He already knew. He says, "And they stood still looking sad. And one of them, named Cleopas, answered and said to him, 'Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem and unaware of the things which have happened here the last few days?' And he said to them, 'What things?' And they said to him, 'The things about Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word in the sight of God and all the people, and who the chief priests and all the rulers delivered him to the sentence of death and crucified him.'" Verse 21 says, "But we were hoping that he was able to go and redeem Israel." So these guys, notice they didn't say he was the Christ, the Son of the living God. They just said he was a prophet. Well, that's what everybody was saying. So what they're saying isn't anything grand. They didn't have any deep revelation. They just thought he was a dude that was raised up, came out of nowhere, and hey, this guy's going to redeem the nation of Israel out from beneath the hand of the Romans. And it says that, indeed, they said, "Besides all of this, it's the third day since these things have happened, but also some women among us amazed us when they were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body. They came saying that they had seen vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb," this is Peter and John, "and found it just exactly as the women had said, but him they did not see. And Jesus said to them, 'O foolish men and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary," everybody say necessary, "for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory?" It was necessary for him to suffer these things and enter into his glory. "Then, beginning with Moses and with all of the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all of the scriptures." Okay, I want to take you back to Deuteronomy, one of the primary verses that speak of Jesus. And you've probably read this before, but I want you to be careful how you read it now. Because the prophetic word explains why Father had to get his Son into the earth. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy 18. And look at verse 15. Moses is speaking to the people. He says, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your countrymen. You shall listen to him." Verse 16. Why is he going to send a prophet into the land from your countrymen? and that you need to listen to him. Why is he going to do that? He says, here's the reason. This is according to all that you asked of the Lord your God in Horeb on the day of the assembly when you said, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God. Let me not see this great fire anymore, or I will die. And the Lord said, they've spoken well. I've read this verse a number of times. But the Lord drew my attention to that verse, and he said, did you realize that the reason I sent my son and put him in a flesh suit was because my desire to be among men is so strong that I had to put a buffer between me and them. The only way that I could get my presence amongst men because of the nature that they had is I had to put myself into the very suit that they were in to be among them in that condition. Because go back to Deuteronomy. Let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5. See, this really speaks to the intensity how much Daddy loves human beings. All through the scriptures, he kept speaking about the fact that his desire was to be among them, to walk among them. The challenge was, and this is what the nation of Israel ran into, is if they were doing the things that were in line with his nature, he could do that. If they were not doing that, there was a conflict. And he can't fellowship with darkness. But he still had such an intense desire to fellowship with human beings that he had to do something about that chasm. See, most of the religions of the world, they deal with, here's man and here's God. And there's a separation there, and the two will never meet. But that's just not the nature of how Father is. Father had such an intense desire to fellowship with human beings because that's what they were created to fellowship with him. But the challenge was because they just refused to listen to him, refused to listen to him, refused to listen to him, that the only manifestations that they were getting were things that were scaring them off. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Look at this. Moses summoned all of Israel and said to them, hear, O Israel, the status and the ordinances which I am speaking today in your hearing, that you may learn from them and observe them carefully. The Lord our God made a covenant with us at Horeb. The Lord did not make this covenant with our fathers, but with us, with all those of us here alive today. The Lord spoke to you face to face. Everybody say face to face. The Lord spoke to you face to face at the mountain from the midst of the fire. And I was standing between the Lord and you at that time to declare to you the word of the Lord. For you were afraid because of the fire and did not go up the mountain. Can you imagine the dilemma that God is in? He loves man so much. He has such a desire to walk among them, be among them, fellowship among them. But yet because of the nature conflict between him and them, there's a wedge there, there's a division there, and never the two can meet. But he has such an intense desire to be among them and walk among them. But yet if they come into his presence, it would just destroy them. So how is Father going to get among human beings and get an opportunity to manifest who he really is? He had to take on an earth suit. There's no other way. He had to take on an earth suit and manifest who he is through the very thing that he wanted to fellowship with. See, people have a challenge. Go back over to Luke. People have a challenge with, well, you know, why does God manifest himself differently in the Old Testament than in the New? And the challenge they have is they try to bring the Old Testament manifestation into the New, and it doesn't fit. Go over to, I'm sorry, I said Luke. Go to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, look at verse 7. So Jesus and Peter, James, John, they went up to the mountain. And you remember the story, they were up there and Jesus had told them prior to this, he says, I'm going to tell you the truth that some of you that are standing here will not taste death until you've seen the kingdom of God after it's come in power. And then a week later, Jesus takes them up, Peter, James, and John, and brought them up to a high mountain, verse 2. And you remember the story, while they're up there, the glory of God rested upon Jesus. And his garments became radiant and exceedingly white, as no launderer on earth could ever whiten them. Verse 4, Elijah appeared, and then Moses appeared, and they were talking with Jesus. Now, I know we read this, and you miss something here. Elijah appeared, that's a representation of the prophets. Moses appeared, that's a representation of the law. And Jesus appeared. And what did Father say? Did he say, pay attention to all of them? He said, of course, you know, Peter was not in his right mind. And, you know, he made a statement. Hey, let's build some tabernacles and we can all, you know, we can camp up here. But then in verse 7 it says, a cloud formed and they became terrified. Notice their response. Here lies the dilemma. When God manifests in the presence of man, man is terrified. God had to put himself in an earth suit to be able to fellowship with the very creation that he so loved. And notice what God says. A cloud formed overshadowing them and a voice came out of heaven. This is my beloved son, listen to him. He didn't say listen to Elijah, he didn't say listen to Moses, he said listen to my son. Why did he say that? We'll go over to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. I'm telling you folks, this will clear up a lot of folks' goofed up theology. When they understand the reason why the second member of the Godhead had to come into the earth in an earth suit to manifest who God really was to human beings, so that they didn't run in terror and run away from him, but they ran to him. Hebrews chapter 1. Says this. As soon as I get there. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets, there's Elijah, and in many portions and in many ways, in these last days, he spoke to us in his, what? His son. Notice it didn't say in his law. In his Old Testament books. Not that those aren't good, because they're all a revelation of Jesus. If you look. But he's, and the word here for spoken is a Greek word, in the New Testament that has to do with very specific articulate speech. It's not just talking in generalities. In other words, what you find here is just what Hebrews says here. In these last days, He spoke to us in His Son, whom He appointed the heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds, and He is the radiance of His glory and the exact representation of His nature. Exact. Everybody say exact. He is the exact representation of His nature. Why? Because God could not relate to man. Man ran away from Him. When God tried to relate and fellowship with man as an entity on a mountain, because of the division between the nature of man and the nature of God, it didn't happen. He had to put Himself inside of an earth suit to fellowship with, I use the word buffer for lack of a better word, as a buffer to be able to fellowship with human beings. And that way he can manifest who He really was. So when you see that, you know, when Jesus said, "If you've seen Me, you've seen Father," He wasn't just speaking nice things. He literally was saying, and John says this, He came into the earth. In fact, just go over to John chapter 1. He came into the earth to manifest who Father was. So why is it that we keep looking for other manifestations of God just because you see them in the Old Testament? If it didn't come through Jesus, it's not really who He is. Because Father, in order to get His, if I can say it like this, in order to get His, the purest manifestation of who He was, and for people to stick around to realize it, He had to come into the earth as a man. Are you guys getting anything out of this? Am I explaining this well enough? Is something turning on the inside of you? It tells you really how the intense desire and passion that Daddy has for human beings. There's not another religion on the planet that has God and man in one package. John chapter 1 says, look at verse 14. Verse 1 says, "The Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was in the beginning." So we've got that established, that we're talking about God. We're talking about the second member of the Godhead. But notice what it says in verse 14. It says, "But that same Word that was eternal, that was God, it had to become flesh." It had to become flesh. Go over to Isaiah. The thing that's so amazing about what Father accomplished through Jesus is he got both of what He wanted. He wanted to fellowship and be among man. He actually wanted to be in man. But He got rid of the whole issue with the whole sin thing too. You've heard it said in other places that, you know, God redeemed you or quote, forgave you of your sin for His sake, right? Not for yours. Sometimes religion kind of twists that around, and we think God forgave us for our sake, but He did. He forgave sin. Jesus took care of the sin issue on the cross for His own sake. Because every time he wanted to fellowship with man, it was right there in his face. And if he got close to man, it would just eradicate it. So he had to do something about the sin issue, but he had to do something about the fact that I've got to be able to manifest myself in the purest form in the earth and have man run to me, not away from me. So the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of an only begotten of the Father. And then so Jesus is going to the cross, and Jesus makes a statement. He said, from this point on, you're going to see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power of God. Why did He go there? Because Daddy's intention from before the foundation of the world was for human beings to always be sitting at His right hand. Because He always intended for to walk among them and, you know, and have fellowship among them and in them. Paul said in 2 Timothy, he said, at the right hand of the Father right now is a mediator, or you could say this, is a reconciler, the man, Christ Jesus. I don't know about you, but that is the most amazing thought. If we can stop thinking about this thing religiously and understand that God put Himself inside of an earth suit on purpose so that He could have fellowship with the creation that He loves so much to the place where He could bring them right back from the trash can and put them next to Him on His throne forever. To those that believe in His name, He gave them the authority to become the sons of God. At the right hand of Father is the man, God in the flesh, forever. You're over in Isaiah, right? Go to Isaiah 43. Maybe this is just... It's challenging. I have to depend on the Spirit of God to really get you to understand what I'm saying, because this thing goes way, way beyond just a doctrinal, theological understanding. When you realize this really demonstrates how much God so loved. He was bent on being among human beings. So bent that He became one so that it wouldn't destroy Him and that He could have the opportunity to manifest just how good He really is. Isaiah 43, look at... I got so many verses, I can't get to all of them. Isaiah 43, look at verse 25. Verse 25 says this, I am the one who wipes out your transgressions for my own sake. And I will not remember your sins. Why did He do that? Why did Jesus go to the cross, become sin for the entire human race, die, 3 days later He's raised from the dead, and Paul brings out this revelation that when Jesus was raised up from the dead, the entire human race was raised up with Him. Ephesians 2:6 says that when Jesus was sat down at the right hand of Father, the entire human race sat down with Him. See, religious folks have a hard time with that one. Because they're trying to relate to Father in a doctrinal, theological manner. When the reality is all Father was doing was putting Himself back in man where He created him in the first place. Because He really does love you that much. And He really is that intense. So Jesus came into the earth to manifest everything Father is. Folks, if Jesus didn't manifest it, it's not who Father really is. It may be a, you know, what you see may be a reaction to the presence of darkness in and among men. But that's not really who Father is. That's his reaction to the darkness that's in and among the men. Do you understand the difference? I said, do you understand the difference? Jesus Christ is absolute perfect theology. That's why he said, my desire, he prayed this to Daddy. Now listen to what he said in light of what we just talked about. He prayed to Father, my desire, Father, is for them to be one like we're one. God in an earth suit. Because as long as God's in an earth suit, he can manifest himself to those that are in the like state. Go over to where do I go? Matthew 28. Now, now that we've established that, now read these verses again. Matthew 28. This is after the resurrection. Verse 16, chapter 28. The 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. When they saw him, they worshipped him. And some of them were doubtful. You got to take it easy on these guys, man. They're just natural men. Right? You know, I don't know why it is Christians. We don't get it. That all these guys in the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were not new creations. They didn't have the Spirit of God in them. So, okay, I'll just go here. So when Jesus gets on the disciples in the garden and says the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, why do new creations grab on that verse and quote it? He was speaking to natural men. Right? I mean, am I missing something? They were natural men, right? So don't sit there and quote, well, you know, the Spirit's full, but the flesh is weak. Paul said, if Christ is in you, you're not in the flesh. So stop quoting a verse that was meant for natural men, not you. So he says here, Jesus came to me and he says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you sometimes. I'm with you when I come down. When I show up on the mountain, then I'm with you. You know, there are actually generations and cultures of people that believe that God comes and goes in their midst, in their villages, and they have to make sure that they do things that they think please him. Otherwise, if things start going wrong, they think that he left. God didn't want human beings to associate with him from the perspective that he comes down on a mountain, then he goes up, and he comes down, he goes up, he comes down, he goes up. He didn't want to fellowship with man like that. He wanted to be in them. He wanted to walk among them. He wanted to fellowship among them all the time. The only way he could do that is to put himself into the barrier of, or the buffer of, an earth suit so that he could manifest who he really was to those that were in that suit. So when Jesus said, before he went to be with the Father, when he said, I am with you always, folks, we've read this so religiously that we just kind of shrug that off and, well, praise the Lord. When what he's really communicating is forever, God and man are one unit forever. Paul dealt with this whole thing in Hebrews. You know, you remember the mountain? They talked about it in Deuteronomy, where he came down and he manifested himself, and the people got so freaked out, they said, hey, we don't talk to us. Please don't talk to us. Well, how many know Daddy wants to talk to us? But if he's got natural human beings that they run in terror when he talks, that kind of is a problem for developing any kind of fellowship. So when they said, hey, you know, just tell a guy and let him talk to us, Father said, that's a good idea. I'm going to send a guy. I know a guy. And I'm going to put him in your midst and you listen to him. Because, he didn't say this, but we see another person in Scripture. Because in that day, he's the only one I'm going to be speaking through. He's the only one that's a manifestation of me. I've said it like this before. Jesus is the only one who has distribution rights to who Father is. Nobody else. This whole stupid thought process of, you know, the Christians, well, you know, they talk to people and they say, well, nobody comes to the Father but by Jesus. That's not what he said. It has nothing to do with access. It has to do with manifestation of who Father is. Jesus is the only one that has rights, distribution rights, to who Daddy really is. Because Daddy set it up that way. But he was bent on manifesting who he really is. Because he knew, if I can just manifest who I really am, people will run to me, not away from me. You think things have changed? So when Jesus stands with his disciples, he says, just as the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. But not just you, everybody else that hears by the words that you declare, they all have the same assignment. You all have the same assignment that I have. And that is to bring a manifestation of Daddy into the earth. Because in that day, I'm going to be coming to you on an ongoing, constant basis. And my prayer is that you're one with him the way I'm one with him. Father said, the only way I'm speaking in the last days is through the manifestation of my Son. He is the exact representation of my nature. So Daddy got secured forever his inhabitants and his fellowship inside of a human being that will never be broken. We celebrate Easter, we say, praise the Lord, Jesus is alive. What does that mean? I don't know. He's alive. But what does that mean? I challenge you this week. I got more, but I don't have time. I challenge you this week. You think about the reality. I'll just give you the verse. You can look it up on your own. Think about the reality of what Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, when he said, at the right hand, there's one reconciler. What's a reconciler? Somebody who takes two things, joins them together as one. Jesus brought together a human being and the creator of the universe, joined them together as one. There's one reconciler between God and mankind, the man, Christ Jesus. And he's seated at the right hand of power. What do you think he told the disciples? Okay, now guys, don't do anything until you go to Jerusalem and you're due with power. Same power. Why? Because you're seated next to me. And you need to understand that this is the new order of things. No longer is man supposed to grovel in his darkness and grovel in his separation from God, because my Daddy saw to it that he joined man and joined God together as one unit. That's why I'm seated there. Go into all the world, preach the gospel, make disciples. In other words, demonstrate what I've shown you. because I'm with you always. I don't come down on a mountain. I hate those songs that sing about, well, God, come down. Really? Give me a break. Do you know what's in you? At the right hand of the Creator of the universe is a man. He's a representation of you. You are seated next to Daddy. That's the awesomeness about what Easter really celebrated. God so loved human beings, He put Himself in one so that He could have that connection and that union forever. That ain't your grandma's religion. Did you guys get anything out of this at all? Man, it's exciting. Go ahead and stand up. You can go ahead and give him a hand. Father, we just love you. We praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. You're so awesome. Hallelujah. Just put your hands up. Raise your hands to heaven. Jesus, I just love you and praise you. And I thank you for these people. I thank you for everyone in this room. Father, I just thank you that your presence rest upon them. Thank you for your promise of the Father upon us. Thank you for that promise. Thank you for the Spirit of God in us that puts the Father upon us. Thank you for that union. We just give you praise. I declare and I speak wholeness and healing to everybody in this room. Daddy, cause your presence to just rest upon them. All those things that are wrong, make them right. Thank you for loving on these people. Thank you for bringing the kingdom into the earth and letting it freely flow. We just love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.